Shalom. I am Stefan Yah on YahvahYahweh.name. And today is the Sabbath day. Today is Father's Day, the day we give unto Yahvah the Father each week. Well, in fact, each day. And I have some quotations. Yochanan chapter 16. 16:7 of John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And it also says in John 4:24 that the worshippers of Yahvah must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yahvah is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. So back again, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall magnify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. I'm using the King James, except rectifying the words to their original English renditions. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And then in regard to prayer, in 23, and in that day shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Another one of the joyful scriptures there. And also regarding the name, in the next chapter, and also the very last verse of 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then the 17, verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 26, the last verse, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So we are talking about Yahweh's word, and that he lifts up, Yahusha, the Messiah, lifts up the Father. He said, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Praise Yah. And today is a Father's Day that the nation is celebrating Father's Day. Actually, it'll be one day from today that they will do this. But the Sabbath keepers keep Father's Day and Mother's Day the day before, on the day of worship. 1 John chapter 4, Yahweh is love. Tells us there in 1 John, and let's go to chapter 4 in 1 John about the Father today, giving him esteem. He that loveth not knoweth not Yahweh, for Yahweh is love. Yahweh the Father is love. Yes, our Heavenly Father is love. And it says that the Father, Messiah, said that our Father is perfect. Be ye perfect, even as my Heavenly Father, or as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48. You know, our natural fathers, our blood fathers on earth, were not perfect. Sooner or later, they had to have slipped up. We had to have messed up somewhere or another in our relationship with our family. But, you know, some of them did the best that they could, as the word, as the saying goes. And for others, they may not have done the best at all. They may have been low-down, dirty, cheating, alcoholics or something, but at any rate, we honor them anyway, regardless of what their past behavior had been. Most of them are in the grave now, our fathers and grandfathers. Whether they were good, bad, or indifferent, we are thankful for our human mom and dad. And many of them indeed were quite wonderful people, took us to church, showed us the right way as far as they knew it. And praise Yah, that's, you know, the best anybody can do is just try to show the way as far as they understand it. And we understand the truth now in what we have read and what we have received by the Spirit. Our minds are opened up to Yahweh's Word. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 about the Father. What does our Heavenly Father do? The one on earth could not supervise and look over us every single second of the day. And so a lot of our activities that were not good, we got away with. And I could give you some anecdotes about that, but, well, maybe I better not. Right? Come to think of it, second thought here. And so anyway, and that was before I was saved, you see. Matthew 6, verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy right hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms, A-L-M-S, may be in secret, and that thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Oh, yes, our Father loves us so much. Then in chapter 7 of Matthew, 7 verse 8, sometimes we are misunderstood by our human fathers or human parents or by a teacher or a friend or somebody we thought was our friend. Well, maybe they were our friends, but they again were not perfect like our Father in heaven is. So it says about our Father now in Matthew 7 verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom of his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give them a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to, relatively evil anyway, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? See also these other verses. Matthew 19:19. Matthew 22:39, that's 22:39, and we did 5:43. Well, we did. We talked about that Yahweh is perfect. Let me see. I've forgotten. I'll have to go back there. Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And, of course, whatever that word defined really does entail, love your enemies, doesn't mean to just go out and bless anybody out in the street and hand out dollars and silver dollars to the prostitutes. But love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. There's the first mention of hate so far on the program. Bless them that curse you and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain, praise Yahweh, he sends rain on the just and also on the unjust. So they get some of the benefits of what you believers are receiving, because he wants you to have all these blessings. Oh, he understands your needs. There we read in chapter 7, Yahweh understands, 7, verse 8. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? And then he gives generously, too, in verses 9 through 11 there of the 7th chapter of Matityahu. And then we are told for our earthly husbands that they should imitate as fathers in Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, we really should be honoring the dads in some way. Communicate with them. Even if they were, running from good, running from Yahweh, we really should still try to keep in contact them, to encourage them to follow the word, to go on to love Yahweh as they should. So here we are, and Paul wrote to the Ephesians and to all of us. This isn't just for the Ephesian church, which was a Gentile type of body of believers, but who believed in the Messiah and the Hebrew scriptures as well, first and foremost. Ephesians 5:23-33. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Messiah is the head of the church. Messiah, Yahusha, is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the assembly is, I'll change that word back to its correct rendition. As the assembly is subject unto Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. So dads, love your wives, even as Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself for it, that he, the Messiah, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. See John 15:3, that he might present it to himself a splendid church with splendor, in other words, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be separated or pure and without blemish, or in Hebrew it would be kodesh, that he should be kodesh and without blemish. See also Revelation 19:7. So ought men to love, and in all the meanings, the different definitions of love regarding human relationships, that he should love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as Yahweh loves, even as Yahweh the church, the assembly, cherishes the assembly. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones, of Messiah. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Yahusha Messiah and the assembly. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Not wives, plural, but so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Speaking about wives and that today in the evangelical assemblies, the evangelifish assemblies, that divorce and remarriage is encouraged. One man said that Yahweh didn't condemn David for marrying more than one wife. Now, Yahweh allows a man to have more than one wife by divorcing and remarrying, but the curses are incurred for disobeying his law. Psalm 51, David confessed his sins and then said, create in me a clean heart, O Yah, and renew a right spirit within me. So he was repenting in his spirit for divorcing and remarrying, or rather for marrying too many, more than one wife, too many. A minister claiming to be conservative says that except be for fornication in Matthew 19:9 means except it be fraud or for some other problem. No, this is not true. If we go to the original first place of mention, the FPOM, the first place of mention about divorce and remarriage in Deuteronomy 22, that he found her not a maid. Thousands of Sabbath keepers condemned television evangelist Jim Baker for his much publicized adultery, yet these same people and even Sabbath keepers are promoting an adultery right in the assembly by accepting, tolerating, and promoting false divorce and remarriage teachings. Suppose you're divorced and struggling to raise a family alone, or maybe you've never married and can't seem to find the right mate. Satan is, Satan is bombarding you with the thoughts of discouragement, and in many cases, wrong physical desires, perhaps. But don't yield to sin, he says in the Giving and Sharing article. If you're divorced or separated from your true mate, do not yield to sin and remarry, which is adultery. If you're divorced do not remarry. If you're eligible to marry, do not hastily rush into an ill-conceived union. Even though Paul doesn't forbid, with the death of the spouse, he doesn't forbid remarriage at any time. He doesn't give any time limit on that, that you have to wait a year, or, you know, what some of our friends try to force us into this thing, and then they actually put us into a mental prison by not remarrying. If we already know someone else, we're convinced that they are right in Yahweh's eyes for us to be marrying them, then perhaps we should marry. Sexual sins and lusts still plague many believers, men and women. Many ministers actually promote doctrines which encourage sexual sins of divorce and remarriage. So we need to rid our lives of these sins, and possibly the ministers as well. Invite Yahweh and the Word into our lives and specify what morality or ethics or even what standard for living will be followed. The standard is the Torah, the Word, as I gave you Deuteronomy 22, not just 24, but the earlier mention of about our relationships when we have the physical coming together of man and wife, or man and woman. It's all discussed and taught there in Deuteronomy 22. And let us invite Yah into our lives, and into our bedrooms, and into every domain of our life. Because Matthew chapter 4 says that a man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. Every word. So for whatever we're reading, the book of Philippians, or Ephesians, Galatians, or the Romans, it's not just addressed to the Romans, the Ephesians, the Galatians, or the Philippians. No, it's addressed also to us, to every believer. As Peter points out, that Paul's letters, they sometimes twist to their own destruction, as they do also the other scriptures. So inferring that Paul's writings are legitimate, that they were spirit-breathed, that they were inspired through the Apostle Shaul. Yeshayahu 8:19, if we speak not according to the Torah and to the testimony, we have no light in us. That's Isaiah 8:19. Oh, we're supposed to repent and be immersed in the name of Yahusha, Acts 2:38. And confess our sins. 1 John 2, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. John 3, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. And remember that we are depraved men, at least before we came to Messiah, and that he washed away our sins by his sacrifice on the tree at Calvary, on Calvary's tree 2,000 years ago. So we were depraved men and women, and we need to be delivered. Many scriptures on that. 2 Corinthians 1:10. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Proverbs 28:26. And these are all listed on the website. YahvehYahweh.name/marriage.html. Also look in Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel 33:9, Zechariah 2 and 3, Daniel 12:1, and last but not least, Joel 2:32. So believe in Messiah and his name, and study about his character in the scriptures. But first of all, who he is and what his name is, YHVH, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, called the Tetragrammaton, the four letters, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. We believe in his son, the Messiah, prophesied in Scripture, which does not refer to the nation of Israel. How could the nation of Israel save us? How could it die on a tree at Calvary? It didn't. Isaiah 53 is way too clear. Micah and other scriptures in Isaiah, chapter 6 and chapter 9, there's many scriptures that prophesied of the coming Messiah, and how he was going to suffer for us and shed his blood on the tree at Calvary. The authority of Scripture is as clear as the nose on our face or on any animal's face, as well, for all that goes. The nose isn't mounted on the kneecap. It was all by intrinsic design that Yahweh created us. So there is a creator who intrinsically designed each one of us, not by by some sort of weird selection or inanimate selection. I can't think of the word for it right now, but by different confusing methods and explosions and so on. No, it wasn't done by that. Or we couldn't come out so perfectly. Zechariah 2 and 3 talk about being delivered. Daniel 12, Joel 2, and 2 Corinthians 1:10. And believe in Messiah, his love, his laws, his covenant, his relationship, his blood, the agreement, his covenant. And I'm not through by any means. We're only about 20 minutes or so into the broadcast. And hoping to round out about an hour today. Also talking about love and hate. There's a fine line between love and hate, you know, that someone once sang, a group of black singers. It's a fine line between love and hate. What do you know about that? That's not strange. Remember the rewards of heaven and eternal life, and that our new life will begin not in heaven, but in New Jerusalem. So right here on this, how did the worldwide Church of God change its doctrine on marriage in the year 1974 and go along with the other of Protestantism? Does Yahweh bind all or any marriages? This article rocked the Church of God in the United Kingdom. Jesus and Remarriage by Derek Seaman, S-E-A-M-A-N, M-A-N. Paul Woods, Questions About Divorce and Remarriage, and many, many other references there can be given. And also on that web page, I gave you my web page, Yahweh Yahweh. There's tapes there you can get, listen to, Divorce and Remarriage, Matthew 19, Marriage is a Covenant, Not an Act, Marriage and Salvation, three parts, Divorce and Remarriage, DNR, Marriage Vow, Yahweh, Your Jealous Husband, is a wonderful short little book that I read and then gave parts 1, 2, and 3. Yes, Marriage and Salvation. It looks like it's the same book there. Just a second here. Yahweh, Your Jealous Husband, Marriage Vow, 2015. And no, that's different. Avoid Control Issues in Marriage. The one that says Marriage and Salvation, Part 1, is Control Issues. Part 2 is about repenting and being delivered from our past nature, sinful life. And Part 3 is about the Book of Acts, the Book of Romans, and once again, the control freaks sometimes. We find those. And then there's Yahweh, Stay Out of My Bedroom, which is a text article, and also an audio somewhere. The Bride of Messiah at the Feasts, finally. So, yes, I told you everything about it, more than you needed to know. So there you go. Okay, we're about 25 into it now. Now we segue or go into this other about the Sabbath here. Sabbath people saying that just because they keep the Sabbath, it puts a special mark on them. And the Sabbath is a sign between Yahweh and his people in Ezekiel 20. The Sabbath is a sign on my people, Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel. And Ezekiel 9, blessed are they that sigh and cry for the abominations thereof. Put a mark upon their foreheads if they sigh and cry for abominations. No, they don't go running around saying that everything is abominable. Everything is kaput, blah, blah, blah. They don't make a pest and offend other people running around. That's not what that means at all. But being sincerely sorry and I can't think of the word here. The other day there was a disaster in America, in Orlando, and people were being remorseful. Yes, it said that they were remorseful. The survivors had great remorse about their actions and having been there at that nightclub in 2016. Praise Yah that we'll continue to pray for those survivors and their families and the families of those who lost their lives. From the history of our patriarchs, Moses, Abraham, and many others who kept the Sabbath, even wicked Korah, the gainsayings of Korah, and in the New Testament, in a more modern sense, the book of Acts there, Shaul was a Sabbath keeper, but yet, even though he kept the Sabbath, he says he was the chief of sinners, past tense, albeit he was a chief of sinners in the past, but he still was not perfect. Read Romans 7, might even read a couple of captions this morning on that. I do not read of anybody in the Scriptures who was perfect other than the Messiah. David kept the Sabbath, yet was he perfect? Let me think here. No. Yes, he did sin greatly, and then he repented, yet they kept the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath, rather. And keeping the Sabbath does not make one neutral from sin. It doesn't disengage us totally from our carnal nature. Paul says, when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So that's the law of sin and death, or the law of the flesh. But now we are delivered from the law. No, we're not delivered from the Torah. that's a crazy thing. Why would you think that? But we're delivered from the... No, it's not that at all. But it's the our own carnal nature, the law that's in our flesh. It says that right here. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. And that would be past tense once we come to know Messiah. See also 2 Corinthians 4:18. 4:18. When I would do good, evil is present within me. For I delight in the law of Yahweh, after the inward man. See also Psalm verse 1, chapter 1. But I see another law in my members. So that's the other law out there. There's all kinds of laws, but another law warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So here comes the answer now. I thank Yahweh through Yahushua Messiah our Master. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of Yahweh. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. So don't be in the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Moshiach, in Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Yahushua Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verse 2. And I wanted to mention to you later here about Shavuot. We had gone to the Feast of Shavuot, went up to the pilgrimage, up to camp, and it's just a wonderful time. But first, I'd like to read for the Book of Psalms, Tehillim 119 under Kaf, the Hebrew letter Kaf, 145. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Yahweh, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning, and cried, I hoped in thy word." Now, what does that mean? I prevented the dawning of the morning. You can't do that. Well, it means, I went before the dawning of the morning, and cried, I hoped in thy word. Yeah, if you look that up, you'll see it's true. Look it up in the concordance. My eyes prevent the night watches. There's that word prevent again, so it means, my eyes went before the night watches, or went during the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Yahweh, not O Lord. O Yahweh, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from the law. Uh-oh, that sounds like the preacher I heard. Don't talk about him. Far from the law. Thou art near, O Yahweh, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. What are testimonies? Those are found in the Scripture, in the book of Leviticus, and Numbers, and Bamidbar, and Deuteronomy, or Debarim. And I'm Stefan Yah. I'm a Messianic believer. And I've got some notes for you. Let's see. We can continue here about the idea of Sabbath keepers there. Keeping the Sabbath does not make one inept from sinning. We all have to work out our salvation from day to day, or night until day, or night unto night, I guess it would be, properly sunset to sunset. Okay, technically, there we go. Some of you are very, very technical, and as I am at times. And we've got to keep our noses clean. Yes, the Church of the Clean Noses. No, we all have to work out our salvation from day to day, and with that great global warning coming by the prophet and great global warming by Yahweh when he destroys this earth or renews the earth, and the earthquakes are coming someday. They're becoming more intense, but there's a huge earthquake that's predicted in the next 50 years on the west coast of America. Now we better get our spiritual parts ready, or they could get kicked hard in the spiritual posterior. I'm very concerned that Sabbath believers become more reliant upon Yahweh's word, more obedient, more convinced and convicted, and like Yahweh said in Matthew 5:48, to become perfect, or become perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, so that we don't become presumptuous and assuming that we're once saved and keep the Sabbath, we're always saved. Uh-oh, where'd we pick that up from? Once saved and keeping the Sabbath. What? No, I'm quoting that funny thing. Once saved and keep the Sabbath, always saved? Oh, okay. But the danger is coming. We see in the front page there, the somewhat alarming, as newspaper publishers often are. And there's danger all around us. It's coming to a city near me. But also, Yahweh's second coming is to a city near me and to every city. So you see, the danger is coming to your town. Run, run, run! The American leader is running around like his head is cut off, shouting, hate crimes, for those of you who speak out against sexual sin. And he doesn't want us to ask others to turn around and repent. John chapter 2 says, fear him who is coming quickly. His fan is in his hand. His fan, F-A-N, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor. John, or Yochanan, was announcing, Yochanan the Baptist, the immerser, was announcing the arrival of the Messiah in his ministry at approximately age 30. So he's going to thoroughly purge his threshing floor. Yes, love, love, love. There is a great gospel of love that's true. But true love is not just namby-pamby, always patting each other on the back. And a great grandfather in the sky is going to come down and just say, now, come on, shape up, be nice. Yeah, no, no, he is going to be exactly austere as the scripture describes his character to be in the book of the Revelation, Daniel, Genesis through Revelation, Bereshit through Revelation. Beware, the master is at hand. Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Speaking possibly of that Shavuot mentioned in Exodus chapter 18 or 19, right before the Ten Commandments. The second coming may be within our lifetime. It just might be around the corner. And we don't want to cause any more trouble, for each day represents enough trouble in itself, which we sometimes are very miserable. We can be very miserable and do enough harm as it is to ourselves or to somebody else by our habits, by our attitudes as we get out on the highway in America and so arrogant with our SUVs and our proudness and all that, our aloofness. Well, let's do away with all that now, folks. Well, do away with most of it. I know we have to have a little bit of arrogance there, don't we? Huh? We have to act so arrogantly toward one another as if we own the world or something. And, well, my credit card and my SUV is bigger than your SUV. Get the blankety-blank off the road because I own this road. That's the attitude, you know, that people are taking. But there I am on the getting up in the pulpit there. And, So before I get into talking about the second coming, that wasn't it at all, about Shavuot, 40 minutes into the broadcast now, I wanted to go into this, that's not the one either. Let's see where it is here now. About hate, the hate crimes, yes, oh. Hate, from the King James Version, restoring the names and titles. Which hate crimes are men guilty of?
Yes, repent of your hate crime. Stop preaching the word.
Well, that's what they tell us. They try to threaten us, and they will lock us up. Leviticus or Vayikra 19, verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise love him to death, and pat him on the back and tell him he's okay and that I'm okay. No, wait a minute, brother Stefan, you're getting way off. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Well, that's a hard thing to do. We're going to be unpopular in each other's eyes, but don't go around rebuking anybody and or everybody and everything. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. This is in the book of Psalms. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I hate it. I hate it. Yes, you're right, Mr. President, I do. I hate every false way. I have to admit it. And I hate vain thoughts. Here in about nine verses later, in Psalm 119, verse 113. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 113, yeah, that was it. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. That David wrote it, of course, by the inspiration of the Spirit. He loves the law. And also in Romans 7, Paul said, we establish the law by faith, and that he delights in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. The Apostle Paul, yes, who wrote The Grace Awakening? No, he didn't write that one. It was a chucker or somebody. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. There we are. We admit that we do have some hate in our heart. We hate false ways. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. That was verse 163. Then up to Psalm 129, verse 5. Let all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. That's a big bad one that's quite prevalent today in churches, is to hate Zion. Yeah, and they hate the law, but they hate people now. They hate Zion. And we're supposed to pray for Jerusalem. And I can't quote that off the top of my head, but pray for Jerusalem, as it says there in the book of Psalms. Amos, hate the evil. This is chapter 5, 15. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that Yah of hosts, will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. I use the word gracious there with poetic license for sake of the broadcast and for simplicity. Matthew 5:44, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. How do we love one another? Well, sometimes by doing a favor for them without charge. Sometimes just giving them some money if we have checked out their background a little bit. Use a little bit of discretion. We don't just throw our money away irresponsibly. But another way we can love our neighbor is to rebuke him in love. Ezekiel 23:37. They that have committed adultery and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and also have caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Yahweh hates this practice. And then verse 38, moreover, this that they have done to me, that they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day and have profaned my Sabbaths. Yes, the same Sabbaths that are being talked about in Protestant churches that we're not supposed to keep, Yahweh said that he wanted us to keep. He wants us to keep the Sabbaths, whereas some Protestant preachers and even the devil doesn't want us to keep the Sabbaths. So in that, they do agree that the Sabbath shouldn't be kept. They agree with Satan. But I was probably one of them who agreed with Satan at one time or another on different things. And I'm sure that you were, that we all were. Proverbs 16:4, Yahweh has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. He has made all things for himself, even he's made the wicked for the day of evil. And then back to Ezekiel 33, verse 8. Okay. 33, Ezekiel 33, 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand. Psalm verse 7, Yah judges the righteous, and Yah is angry with the wicked every day. Ezekiel, again, 33:14. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. Next verse, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And next verse, none of his sins that he has committed shall be mentioned unto him, he has done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. But remember from the psalm that Yahweh judges the righteous, and Yah is angry with the wicked every day. And then psalm, up to Psalm 9 now, two more chapters. Yahweh also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And then the next verse, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. They that know thy substitute name will put the, no, they that will know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Yahweh, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Back to the Psalm 119 again, the longest psalm in Scripture, in verse 126. And that's under the Hebrew word Ain, A-I-N, in phonetically pronounced A-I-N. It is time for thee, Yahweh, to work, for they have made void thy law. On the Christian radio program, they try to make void the law. The law of, it's referred to as the law of the Lord in Matthew chapter, or let's see, it's Luke chapter 2, I guess, Luke chapter 1 and 2, the law of the Lord, or law of Moses, are interchangeable, and the Torah, they're one and the same there. And when we say Torah, we're speaking of Yahweh's Torah, not of some other one. And Psalm 119, 136, just right before the Zadi letter. Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. They keep not thy Torah. So David said, rivers of waters run down his eyes. And then 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Let's go up to Romans again now in the New Testament, where Paul said in chapter 7 again, wherefore the law is pure, and the commandment pure, and just and good. And then 10 verses later, for I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. And then back to Psalm 119, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. The statutes are the amplifications of the Ten Commandments. They are extensions, not the added law. The added law was referred to in Jeremiah 7:22 as the sacrificial law. And that's not totally been abrogated either, but the law of sin and death, in other words, the law of sin and death and the sacrificial death penalty, the sacrificial sacrifices for sin. There, I knew I'd get it. And then finally, I think it is, in Ezekiel 33. And we want to thank you very much for listening to this podcast on YahvahYahweh.name. On first of all, we started out there about Father's Day and talked about marriage. Oh, I didn't speak about Shavuot yet. So I guess we'll wind up on that even a wonderful thought. Great headline that they kept Shavuot up in the mountains, up at the camp there. That should be on the front page to encourage people now and then. If they can't say anything good, then let's hear, let's not hear that. Let's hear something good for a change. So, Ezekiel 33:31, and they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Ezekiel 33:32. It's very similar there to that passage, I think it's Mark 9, where Yahweh says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments the doctrines of men. For laying aside the commandments of Yahweh, they hold up their own traditions of man. Let's see if it's whether or not it was Mark 9 or not. No, it was 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So that would include the, what's that other one? The Talmud and the Mishnah. For laying aside the commandment of Yahweh, you hold the tradition of men, including the washing of things, of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. See also 4:24 and Isaiah 29:13. So 4:24 is reachable here for me. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Speaking of the word there, to him that has the word, much shall be required of him. So is the kingdom of God, of Yahweh, and so on there. So, okay, yeah. Well, we went to Shavuot recently up at camp, and it was a very blessed time keeping the pilgrimage or the Haggag feast up there at a beautiful mountain retreat area and camp, and nobody broke the Sabbath there. Nobody broke the Torah, at least not outwardly that I could tell. Everything was done correctly and in proper order. It was a wonderful time. And my wife, Jean, and I just lifted up Yahweh and praised him and taught about the Torah. We went back to Exodus chapters 18 and 19 and 20, which is classically said to apply to that time of the scriptural calendar. I won't call it the Jewish calendar by any means. I won't call it the Hebrew calendar. It's just the scriptural calendar, that time of year when Yahweh says to keep his feast days. There's three traveling feasts, and those were mentioned in Exodus chapter 23. In Shemot 23, and also Leviticus 23, where it says, three times in the year, all males, and then later it talks about the whole family. We'll go up to these feast days here. So,
these here feast days, yes. Yes, indeed.
Wonderful, incredible blessings. Verse 17, 23:17 in Shemot, three times in the year all thy males shall appear before Yahweh, Elohim, or Sovereign Yahweh. See also Deuteronomy 16:13 and 12:15 Deuteronomy, and Nehemiah there, and praise Yahweh. And that says, the first of the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring into the house of Yahweh. So we did have a tithe there. And it was a blessing as we read the word And we got out and enjoyed some of the creations that Yahva made out there. That he caused us to ride upon the high places of the earth. We went up to this place called Proxy Falls, where the kind of a necktie falls. And then there was another one that was real close. There were two others that were really close to that one that we walked around there and just took nice observations of that and enjoyed all of these wonderful forest settings there and fellowship together and sat down and read the Word, read the Scriptures to each other and sang wonderful songs. And let's see, we didn't fully take up that tithe there, that special tithe for the feast, so that has to be put aside to the publishing of Yahweh's Word. And let's see, looking back in the Scriptures here at Exodus 19, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Mitzrayim, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. That's Exodus 19. And then they said in verse 8, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. So they're ratifying the covenant there at one point. They're also ratifying in chapter 24. Moses returned the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moshe told the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go unto the people and set them apart, or sanctify it, said there, or set them apart, more correctly, today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day, Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And I kept trying to figure that out, what the third day meant. What was the first day that he talked about? Well, you go back to the beginning of the chapter, but it still didn't put me anywhere in time knowing what the first day was. But anyway, here in the year 2016, we left for the feast, or we were supposed to be leaving, I guess. I don't know. On the sixth day, the preparation day, the sixth day of the week. And so I might count that as the first day, counting from the preparation day, because the second day was the Sabbath day, the seventh-day Sabbath. And then the third day was the first day of the week, which to most people is the day that they keep first fruits on. And then some keep it on the following day, the second day of the week, because they're counting from, to count the full 50 day in the Omer, counting the seven-week Omer, and that entire thing there. So that the first day of the week would be the third day from here. So possibly that's what it was thousands of years ago in this particular scenario, when Moshe and all of the congregation of Israel were keeping the feast. Perhaps the third day was the third day from preparation day. Funny thing about it is, if you keep the feast of Shavuot, a high day, on the first day of the week, it's a preparation day after the Sabbath. You have to have a preparation day for the feast, and you can't postpone a feast day just because of that factor. But on the other hand, people, you know, they say, well, you don't really need to prepare food for the high day, or for two Sabbath days together, for the seventh day of the week and the first day of the week. You don't need to prepare that much food. You could make sandwiches ahead of time on the day before, on the preparation, the sixth day of the week there. And I always agreed with that. And that's true, that you should, and that you do prepare for a day or even 2 days in a row of Sabbath day, seventh-day Sabbath, and the high day together. That makes a double Sabbath there. But the problem with that is not just the preparing of the food. The issue is in preparing the journey, because this is a traveling feast. Do any of you travel for the Feast of Shavuot, as the Scriptures command us to? Well, no, I haven't been doing that up until a year or two ago, I think. And so now that we travel, we see the application there, that there isn't a preparation day to travel. And it was quite a burdensome thing to gather up on the first day of the week, which is supposed to be a high day, according to most people. Here we are gathering everything up and throwing it in the vehicle, and then going on a long journey of about 2 hours, some shorter, some are longer, but for us it was 2 hours up to the mountains, and a beautiful creek up there and all that in the mountains. And then it snowed, actually. They'll try to send you a picture on that on the website, where you can see where we were. And also at the there was a fireplace that had been lit the day before or something. Actually, a Pesach picture during one of the non-high days for the fireplace inside the tabernacle there. So anyway, what was the end of the thought there? That in times past, we had again been keeping first fruits on the second day of the week, because we're counting from the wave sheaf. If you follow me, if you've studied that out about the wave sheaf in Leviticus 23 and Vayikra. So we had to have not only the preparation day, but we also had to follow the scripture where it said, well, it's no problem for me. I can turn to it. Here it is in Vayikra 23. And then we'll be concluding here after the about an hour plus on this podcast. Leviticus 23, and going on down to, and we've covered this before, there's much more information, going down to about verse 11, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And then the eating bread in 14 there, 15, he shall count unto you from, so that word from there, we have to assent to the truth. We have to engage the truth here, folks. And that word from has a meaning to it. And we look it up, and we find out it means what it means. It's the word from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Even in English, it says in the King James, unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, but actually it should be more correctly, even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yahweh and bring And bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals, and they shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yahweh. So that's what I read there. For those of you who don't follow too well, I was reading about Shavuot, the Feast of First Fruits, or Feast of Weeks, or Feast of Pentecost, all one and the same, found in Vayikra, Leviticus 23. So we don't get down on other people for doing things differently. Show a little compassion for one another and give each other a little bit of freedom there. Okay, well, I've said it before, but anyway, it goes without saying that we should have compassion for one another and a little bit of empathy. Have you ever heard, well, look that up, the word empathy there. And that'll help out immensely, especially for those that you know who just can't accept others doing things differently. Maybe they're doing it because they don't know. Maybe they're doing it because they're rebellious. Maybe I don't know if they're what it is that causes people to do things all kinds of different ways, but Yahweh knows their hearts. He knows whether they've diligently studied the word or whether they've been, inept or something, or they've been not studiously studying like they should have been. Well, then that's going to be their problem someday, won't it? And they'll be disciplined for it in the future as well as the near future, I believe. There's a lot of problems coming, so we don't want to create any more problems than there are already. So let's take care to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, and just be content with where we are at right now. And especially get to these feast days, these 3 feasts. The next one coming up that's for traveling will be the Feast of Sukkot. That is in the autumn, or late summer, as I call it. Okay, so we're looking forward to a great time of fellowship, and even a greater time, perhaps, maybe with a lot more folks than we had in the past here. And the email, of course, you know, is on the website, so we'll hopefully be in touch later, and I really want to hear from you. Even if you don't agree Well, that's okay. I'm sorry we're not going to just at the drop of a hat change this way when that email comes in, and then when the other person's email will change their way. No, we're not that fickle. We have to not be hasty. We have to consider things a little bit and kind of mold them over, you know, like we're chewing up the word and digesting it and thinking about it. We cogitate a little bit. We sit down. We don't stand around with our hands on our hips and shout at each other. Oh, that's that hate stuff again. So let's bring in the love into our fellowships and with one another, and see a lot more research, but research in truth and in love. Shalom.